確かに。
How are you guys going?
This guy's got a weakness, do you?
Going there, you're right.
Thank you.
Everyone is okay? Well, today we're announcing the government's intention to commission a new prison at Wiri that will be designed, built and operated under a public-private partnership. It's our intention the prison will be operating by the end of 2014. This sits alongside the government's major and significant infrastructure funding program. We've wanted to make sure through all our spending on infrastructure and on prisons, schools and hospitals that we spend taxpayers' money wisely. We signalled clearly before the election that we would be looking to use public-private partnerships, but we stressed that that would occur where those partnerships offer value for money. So in this case, the Corrections Department and the Corrections Minister have run the proposition up against a public sector comparator, as is the practice in other countries. We believe that there is the potential for gains of the order of 10 to 20% of the running costs of prisons over the 30-year lifetime of the deal, but we would stress that that has yet to be tested. So what we're announcing today is the government's decision to go to the market and test whether a PPP is the best option. If the results of going to the market are better than a public sector comparator, then we would proceed with the PPP. If the bids aren't better, then clearly we wouldn't proceed with the PPP. And we would revert to the normal public sector procurement process. As the Minister will outline, it's an opportunity for improving our prison services. It actually gives the government a bit of a policy challenge to focus on the outcomes it wants, not just on getting the building up. And that's going to, I think, be probably one of the most interesting aspect of the discussion from here on, is the government being clear what it wants from a new prison in terms of results, rather than just getting the project completed. The government holds around about $110 billion of active physical assets, and we are taking the opportunity of these PPP processes to learn a lot more about better ways of managing the assets. So the value of this exercise, this exercise will be very valuable to the government almost regardless of the outcome in the case of the prison, simply because the analysis that's had to be done about prison demand, the growth in prison population, the interaction between the justice system and the prison population has thrown up a lot of information about all of our criminal justice process, and it's also assisted the been an opportunity for the infrastructure unit and Treasury to learn a lot more about the balance of operation and financial risks around these big projects. And it's allowed us to learn a lot from the private sector and their experience in the UK and Australia of interacting with government and how the risks are allocated. So regardless of whether this PPP is actually able to be completed because it's good value for money, from the government's point of view, it's been a very successful exercise in learning how to do capital investment considerably better than it's been done in the past. Minister.
Thank you very much, Minister. As many of you know, our prisons are facing a capacity crisis. We've gone from a prison population in 1996 to 5,000 prisoners. Today we've got 8,500 and rising. We are going to need an additional 2,270 prison beds by the end of 2019. And that's not just to deal with the growth in prison population, but actually also to cope with the fact that we have prison beds which are obsolete and which do need to be replaced. Last year we had to open up Mount Crawford again, a prison we shouldn't have to have prisoners in, definitely obsolete. So those are the sorts of things we're dealing with here. Corrections has done a great job working with the infrastructure unit and Treasury to get the PPP to this position. So what we're doing is obviously double bunking. We're bringing in trialling the container cells, which are almost ready to go at Rimutaka, but we still need to be able to look to the future and to make sure we can replace the obsolete beds, but also deal with any increase in the prison population. So we've looked at a range of PPPs that could be looked at, and the custodial PPP was considered to be the best value for taxpayer dollars, but also the best in terms of being able to stipulate an outcome and to let the private investors get on to actually producing that outcome. We see this as a huge opportunity to engage iwi involved, and particularly in the rehabilitative process for prisoners. Certainly in the past, when the Auckland Central Remand Prison was privately managed, iwi were brought in an innovative way for prisoners at that stage, involved in the rehabilitative programs. That was not something that was mainstream in New Zealand prisons at that stage. So we would be looking to a good contribution from iwi and involvement in any PPP that's put to us. For those who are concerned over the control that corrections would have over a privately managed and privately built prison, the Chief Executive of the Department of Corrections is still the person who has the ultimate authority over any prisoners and prisons and how they are run. However, it's certainly has in the past been shown to be a good way to actually have a good mix between public and private partnerships, and it's worked very well in Australia and all the Australian states and in the UK and elsewhere, and we believe this will be, hopefully we'll have a good response from the market so that we can go ahead with this. So just to remind you too that the Office of the Auditor General can investigate any way in which corrections operates or any prison in just the same way as they do now in our publicly run prisons. And it's also a reminder to everybody that it costs $91,000 on average a year to keep a prisoner housed in our current prisons, and there's got to be some opportunities there to get better value for money for the taxpayer.
Any questions?
Yeah. Minister, is part of the reason for looking at PPPs, you've told us budgets are tight, government doesn't have a lot of money to spend, are you looking at the private sector so that they can spend money on capital infrastructure investment because the government simply doesn't have that level of cash?
Well, no, we're not. We've set ourselves up so that we don't have to do any PPP. And something like a prison is pretty much a core government function, so if we don't have to do this deal, if it's not good enough, then we won't do it. And we will have the capacity to fund the prison ourselves. The benefits of the PPP is less to do with available cash, although that is a side benefit, and more to do with just getting better use of the 30 years of taxpayer spending that's going to be involved in this 1,000-bed prison. So if we can make 10 or 20% improvement in the costs and get better outcomes, then that's a pretty good deal. That's what we're after.
And is the cost saving mainly due because the expectation is privately run prison, perhaps lower staff ratios and pay rates to staff there cover page releasing to indicate that's the main saving?
No, there's also savings that have been indicated in Australia too, of anything from 11 to 30% savings. So it's not just around pay rates. It's also around the ways in which prisons can operate. Some of the things that I've seen are, in fact, longer unlock hours in some of the privately run prisons than what we have here in New Zealand. And that means actually prisoners being outside of their cells for longer, not the other way around. So there are other ways in which things can be done, including, for instance, using more of the private sector in terms of the rehabilitative programs. The fact is that sometimes the private sector can be more efficient.
Sorry, can you explain to me, you know, what the major cost saving is there? I don't understand how prisoners being out of their cells for longer related to cost savings.
Well, actually it doesn't, other than to say that that's actually one of the best things that I've seen in privately run prisons, is the ability for them to be able to make decisions about the welfare of prisoners and getting them into more rehabilitation. So in the past, we've had some opponents of privately run prisons have said, oh look, it'll be all about cost cutting, prisons will be locked up longer. That's actually not what happens in reality. So sometimes the private sector is a lot more efficient and can actually make changes and bring in programs that don't have to be in all the prisons but can be in one particular one. So some of the cost savings will be around obviously the way in which they deploy staff, what they've got them doing, but they'll also be around how they actually run their businesses, how they do their food purchasing, all those sorts of things. And the fact is, it does happen.
Sorry, it's not possible though to pick up those ideas and use them in publicly run businesses to cut the cost there?
Well, some have been. You probably know that we have a situation in our New Zealand prisons where the unions in particular, the Cairns Union, has been very opposed to some invasion in prisons, and we've seen that with the double bunking, where they first off offered to do double bunking but then wanted extraordinary amounts of money for it. Now, that's not the sort of thing that I think is very helpful when we're looking at making best use of taxpayer dollars.
I think it's one of the benefits of the PPPs is exactly that one, that the ideas about the total efficiency here of wrapping up the building and the operating of the prison together will be tested in the market. And if the numbers that come out of that, the numbers that come out of that process need to be credible to the government, and they'll need to show pretty specifically where they can show the gains compared to the public sector comparator, which is the current benchmark. And if those gains look real and sustainable over the longer term, then it's an attractive project. And corrections, I think, have shown an admirable willingness to learn from the process. So when we get to see that in reality rather than just in theory, then I've no doubt that the Minister and the Department will be picking up those ideas to apply them. That's one of the reasons we want to do PPPs, they're only ever going to be marginal. I mean, the Minister's got a pretty clear view about it in the prison sector, that you might have a few privately run prisons, but the bulk of them are still going to be government run, and we would expect to learn from that experience.
When you talk about stipulating outcomes from these projects, what sort of things will they be, and will there be penalties if they fail to meet them?
One of the things that I'm very keen on doing is having more rehabilitation for prisoners and better outcomes for that. It's no point just having rehabilitation programs that don't actually produce good outcomes. And what we're committed to doing, for instance, in the publicly run prisons is doubling the amount of drug and alcohol rehabilitation for prisoners. But what we do know is that recidivism rates don't seem to be going down, and we'd like to see some more work done on that. And it may well be that that might be one of the things that we would look at in terms of outcomes.
So there would be some sort of recidivism or non reoffending rate that prisons would have to meet?
Well, that might well be one of the things to look at. But, of course, this is a very early days, and any contract's going to be subject to a lot of negotiation. But we expect to drive a very hard bargain.
The idea of having privately run prisons has been out here for a long time. What sort of expressions of interest has the government and corrections actually had so far from potential providers?
Well, I've actually had a lot of interest displayed by private providers. I've been to visit privately run prisons in Australia, and I've also had providers of services come to New Zealand to meet with us. There's a lot of interest that I can see, but I don't expect us to have to drive anything other than a tough bargain, because I expect that we have to make this make sense in terms of the taxpayer dollars. So as Minister English has pointed out, it won't happen unless it's going to work.
Yeah, that interest will be tested. I mean, we put this out in the market and no one's interested. Well, it doesn't happen.
That's right.
So we'll find out who's just been talking about it and who really wants to take on the complexity and the risk involved in this project.
But is it predominantly coming from overseas? So if you'd assume that there is not the level of experience within New Zealand, given that privately run prisons was just ACRP back in 2000, so domestically, what are the chances?
I think you'll find that... What's the kind of participant that's involved will range, I think, from those who have experience building and running prisons as a whole, and then other consortiums that will include, for instance, local building, a local firm that can build a prison, working alongside an experienced operator. And then we'll get to evaluate the quality of those joint proposals.
So unless a heap of people defect from corrections, the chances of a privately run prison in New Zealand being run by New Zealand operators, it would seem on that reasonably slim at this stage.
Well, I wouldn't say it's reasonably slim. We've yet to see who turns up, but certainly you go into this process having talked to the market a bit, and as I said, we'll get a range, and who knows who's going to do it, who's going to actually come through the process. But there'll be certainly experienced international operators. We may find consortiums that involve significant local participation. And the Minister's already signalled that she would expect to see some interest from iwi because of the very high proportion of prisoners in this prison that will be Maori.
How is that decided?
Well, that was a process. We looked at the available land that we have. When I came in as Minister of Corrections, I found out that we had a lot of land. Rather than going around looking for new land to buy, I thought, let's use the land we've got for a start. Wiri is, in addition to that, placed between two prisons. One is a youth justice facility and the other is the Auckland Women's Regional Prison. So it's already zoned for a prison. It's land there. It makes it much easier in terms of our transport links close to the courts, and very good for staff, which is extremely important to us, but also close for all sorts of reasons. And actually a lot of prisoners, it'll make it much easier for their families to be able to keep contact with them.
Is it also a case of you'll have less resistance for not in my backyard when there are two prisons already there?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, I would have thought that when people talk about that, I've actually had people right around the country asking for prisons to be put into their backyards, because it might shock some people, but actually provincial New Zealand in particular, we're very keen, a lot of provinces to have prisons there because of the fact that they bring a lot of work into the area, and it actually makes it an awful lot easier for families. So, but we've got to look at what's best value for money. We're looking at about 1,000 bed units there, so we've really got to have it close to family, but also for staff.
Who will determine which prisoners get sent to the privately run prison, and can prisoners be transferred between the private and the public prisons?
Well, that's something that corrections would have to work on. It's not something that ministers do, I can tell you that.
Well, who would determine it? Because what's to stop? I mean, is a private prison operator going to have any ability to say, we're not taking that guy, we'll take that guy?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. That's not something that I would countenance. All these prisoners would still be under the control of the Department of Corrections.
So they could be transferred between, from, say, Rimataka to Wiri?
There's no particular reason why it wouldn't be. It certainly happened with Auckland Central Remand Prison in the past.
So this is a remand prison or a high security?
No, this will be there'll be a range of different security there. I mean, it's not going to be a remand prison. It's going to be a range of different security.
You talked about the 2,270 beds needed by 2019. How will this prison help towards reaching that goal?
Well, it should be operational by 2014, and so that will certainly help, because the number I've given you is for 2019, 5 years after that. In the meantime, we are still on track to be able to cope with the prison population because of the double bunking, which we've gone ahead with, despite the opposition of the Cairns Union and with and the container cells.
From a rehabilitation point of view and cost point of view, I mean, have the government given consideration to being more innovative around sentencing? I mean, lock up a lot of people in this country. I mean, another choice surely is to lock up fewer people.
Well, I'm not prepared to just to say to the government, to say to the Minister of Justice, that we should let go our recidivist violent offenders because it costs money to keep them housed.
Well, not all of those people are recidivist violent offenders, are they?
This is in fact a lot of what we're dealing with. Violence is the number one big issue coming into our prisons. And corrections have to receive the people that are sent to it, and they need to do that humanely, securely.
What impact would the opening of this new prison have on staffing and retention for the corrections department? Because one would assume a private prison is going to need to hire prison guards with officers with experience. And I know the corrections department has already had several challenges in maintaining its own staffing numbers. Would this pose any challenges?
Well, actually, corrections is doing very well with its staffing. Our retention rates, when I became the minister, was around about 9%, which was about the public service average. That's now right down in terms of we're keeping more staff, keeping good staff. And in fact, I think there will be lots of opportunities for people in the corrections area. Sad to say, corrections is a growth industry in one way. The good side of that is that there are jobs for good people.
But creating a new prison there wouldn't lead to skill shortages in public prisons elsewhere?
Well, no. Look, we've got 8,500 prisoners now. We've got around about 3,500 prison staff. We've got a great number of staff, so that it's not as though an entire prison is suddenly empty out of staff.
And
talking about a few people.
And that's an issue regardless of who builds it. I think the other thing about the demand is to see this in context. There's been quite a bit of discussion in government, both the previous government and this government, about the amount of predicted growth in prison numbers. And, of course, for the kind of offender that the Minister's referred to, the demand is growing and we've got to build capacity to get it. I'd have to say, wearing a finance hat, it's something we want to minimise. But the justice sector has done over the last couple of years and is continuing to do a lot of work to make sure that the flow through the justice system isn't going to overwhelm us. So there were forecasts a couple of years ago of the need for about 5,000 new prison beds. Now that's come down partly because of the double bunking and the containers, but also partly because of the system starting to work a bit harder at the front end to reduce the flow.
Do you envisage the private sector putting up the capital to build the prison, or do you think you'll be funding it?
No, they'll be putting up the capital.
And you own the land?
Yes.
And how much does it roughly cost to build a 1,000 prison? Any idea?
Well, I don't think we want to go into the numbers at the stage.
Yeah, we're not using any numbers today.
What's the recent equivalent?
Go and look it up. We're not using any numbers.
There's going to be a more expensive prospect than Auckland Central because you're paying for the building as well as the management of the prison. So Auckland Central Remand was publicly owned, wasn't it?
It was already publicly owned, yeah. I mean, we're going into this with one of the things we want to achieve out of this is a lower cost for building and operation by putting them in together than the public sector comparator. Okay, so this involves setting up a benchmark, which is a well-run, you know, building a prison without cost overruns and running it pretty efficiently. And any bid that comes in the next 6 months or so will be measured against that comparator. And if it isn't better, then we won't do a PPP.
So you're looking for about $10 or $20 million a year in savings at this prison, would that be about right?
Well, we've just talked about, referred in here to overseas experience yielding sort of 10 to 20%.
Is it so? That's, yeah, 9,000 a prisoner, you know, it's $10 or $20,000 each prisoner, 1,000 prisoners, $20 million.
Well, you know, you can do the maths, and the market will be doing the maths.
If the bid doesn't come in to what you like, does this mean that PPPs are off in all the other sectors?
No.
It's not a test case in that sense?
No, it's not a test case for... Look, it's our first significant PPP. But the policy doesn't hinge on the success of this one-off PPP.
Where about structure and holistic design? Notice you highlight, for example, education. How far is your thinking on that?
Well, we're looking at the possibility in education, and again, it'll depend on whether the gains in those. In the case of schools, it's really just a build PPP, not an operate.
Right.
So the possibility for gains is quite a bit smaller than if you're in a service where you can bundle it all together. And it's yet to be tested whether we would get to this stage.
Would they have to have the same prisoner to guard ratio that public prisons
have? That would depend on the contract, and it's something that corrections would need to be heavily involved in. And of course, I think most people would realise that those sorts of ratios are sometimes dependent on the sort of prisoners you're dealing with, whether they're low security or high security, but that's something that would be left up to corrections.
Is this going to be a mixed prison, high security, low security, or particularly one?
We're looking at one which will have a range of different securities.
Will actually own the prison once it's...
Or will own the land.
And it will own the prison itself.
Well, the operator owns it. At the end of 30 years, it reverts to the government.
I mean, late last year, the infrastructure unit was raising concerns that corrections weren't moving fast enough on this issue. What were corrections concerned, presumably, where they weren't moving fast?
Well, obviously, we have moved fast enough.
Yeah. I think this has been a new process for the public sector. By international standards, we've got up and running faster than any other government that's got going. There was a bit of, last year we had, it took quite a while just to get the capacity within the public sector to do this, because it had 10 years of being told that dealing with the private sector was dealing with the devil. So it took a wee while to break down that culture, to build up the capacity both in the infrastructure unit and corrections, but I have to compliment the public servants involved on, in a relatively short time of 4 or 5 months, getting through a very thorough, wide-ranging exercise around prison demand as the context for this PPP, and getting a process in place which is credible in the market, so that we can now go ahead and test whether we can get better value for money, because in the end that's what we're after.
They now know it's God's work.
On a separate issue, Paul Goss made a speech in Christchurch today where he argues that any compensation for a superannuation for the GST rise will be worn down because of the 66% fall in superannuation. Do you accept that argument?
No, I don't. Look, the superannuitants, I spoke to Greg Power yesterday, The adjustment in GST is permanent. I mean, the adjustment for GST is permanent. It can't be worn down. And so I don't really know what he's talking about. I'm not sure if he does. If you look back over the last 18 months, it shows how much superannuitants benefit from tax cuts. The married rate of national super is now, per fortnight, is now $100 higher than it was just 18 months ago. On the first of October 2008, when Dr. Cullen's first tax cut came in place. So, looking ahead, superannuitants would get compensation for GST on the day, and they get the benefits of lower tax rates on their existing national super, and the reduction in tax on the average wage flows through to lifting the 66% floor in terms of its absolute dollar amount. So superannuitants will be unambiguously better off after the proposed package.
He's arguing that over time that will get to a point where there's basically no difference.
Well, I don't really understand his argument. I mean, if the GST compensation is less than it should be, that just gets picked up in later CPI adjustments. Like, if prices went up by more than GST, that gets picked up through the CPI adjustment, and and lower income taxes lifts the 66% floor, so the absolute dollar amount of national super, the floor goes up. So I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I don't think he understands the interaction between tax cuts and national super. Tax cuts push national super up.
Will this prison be double bunked?
Well, it might be. It's not something that we're considering. It's certainly not a stipulation that it will be. But there's no particular reason why it wouldn't be looked at as part of the mix.
One final question is, or from me anyway, is the government looking at handing over any of our publicly run prisons to private contractors at the moment?
Well, we've already said that we will be having a privately run prison at the Mount Eden ACRP as a combined prison. And that's what we're looking at, that and this one at Wiri. The Cairns Union has suggested that we could go up to 6 prisons, but I'm not convinced on that. I'm convinced on 2.
What happens if someone turns up and says, look, we've got a whole bunch of shipping containers we can stick in there and turn into a prison?
Well, we're doing a marvellous job of that at Rimutaka, about to start.
Would that be acceptable,
right,
though? Or?
Well, we want something that's going to be the best value, but where the shipping containers work is where we've already got very good infrastructure, which is why they work in some of these newer prisons where we've got expanded infrastructure. I'm not sure that would work as well with a brand new prison having to build dining halls and everything else.
You said last year that double bunking was a response to an emergency overcrowding situation.
Yeah.
Why would you then allow the privatised prisons to overcrowd themselves, essentially?
Well, I don't think the double bunking has to be constantly talked about as overcrowding. It's quite a normal thing. 21% of our prisons were already, our prison cells were double bunked when I became the minister. And it's part of the union agreement that there would be a certain amount of double bunking. The fact is that what we do see on an almost daily basis are reports about the fact that people's lives are often saved by being in a double bunk, because attempts at taking people's own lives can actually, that's one of the prevalent issues that corrections has to deal with. And it's quite common for me to be told that a prisoner has been saved by his cellmate, and that's the sort of thing that does happen.
So you believe that mining is good for prisoners?
Well, actually, what I think is really best is if they don't commit the crime and don't come to jail.
Thank you very much.